I didn't go back to the original Greek for this passage, just so you know. It's a nice thought, but I didn't. So we're continuing through James. And as I've said in previous weeks, I have sort of a love-hate relationship with this book. It so hits home with me that I love it, and it so hits home with me that I hate it. And this is certainly one of those passages, I think, that hits home in many ways. I also think James is incredibly prophetic in what he says here, because what he's saying for his time period, I think, speaks even more to us here and now. Reminder, though, when we started James, I suggested the question underlying this entire book is, how do we respond to God's gifts given to us? And in previous weeks, previous passages, James has talked about, always talked about our actions. For James, this is all revealed in what we say and what we do, how we behave. So James has reminded us, for example, not to show favoritism, not to judge. James has reminded us to be mindful of our tongues and our words and what we say, and remind us of the evil that our tongues can do. And then this week we get this contrast, the wisdom from above versus the wisdom from below, the wisdom of the earth and human nature and human culture and society. And so I just want to reflect on these two types of wisdom this week and what James tells us about them. And it's worth noting, again, for James, when he says wisdom, many of us might think of something kind of cerebral, what we think. But James is talking about behavior, wise behavior. For James, wisdom is always wrapped up in what we do, what we say, and what that reveals. Let's start with earthly wisdom, which I fear has been perhaps too much on display in this week we've just gone through. James says, what is the cause of discord and disharmony and division among you? Why are you humans always at war with each other and violent and hateful and being divided? And James says, and I think pretty perceptively, it starts from within. You are at war within yourself in some way, these cravings within you. And he specifically says, you are caught up with envy and jealousy and selfish ambition. You want what you don't have. You want what others have. And that's what causes, James is essentially saying, all our human troubles. I don't think he's far off in that diagnosis. It's envy and jealousy and selfish ambition that so often drives us. And again, I think this is particularly true of our modern American culture and society. As one of the commentators I read this week noted, I thought, rather clever in some ways, and I'm trying to remember exactly how they phrased it, something along the lines of, envy and ambition are as much a part of what drives the United States as are fossil fuels. Interesting way to put it, I thought. We are driven in many ways by our very culture, our nature, our capitalist system that we're part of. And that's not to say on the surface this is all bad, but it drives us to become envious and jealous and ambitious for things or for more position and power. I mean, that's what lies behind advertising. If we were all happy and content with what we have, a lot of companies would go out of business. So they make us think you need a new something or other. You need the latest style. Or, of course, we now design things to wear out in 3 years so that you need to buy a new one. And we become envious, or we notice what other people have that we don't. I mean, this is what fuels social media, most of it, isn't it? Everyone else is living a happy life except for me, and I can tell because of the pictures they post on Facebook. We become envious, jealous, and so we want, and we scrap and fight for it. That's also part of the American way, unfortunately. And I think James would say it doesn't just happen within our communities and society, it's worldwide. What's the cause of wars and nations going to war? Envy, jealousy. We want more power, more land. I think James is onto something here, and this is all the earthly wisdom. But then there's God's wisdom. And I should also note this contrast, this telling us we have a choice to follow either heavenly wisdom or earthly wisdom, is not unique to James. Paul says it many times. There's a difference. We need to make a choice who we will follow. Jesus says it many times. You can't serve both God and money. And so James says, well, let me remind you about heavenly wisdom, divine wisdom, the wisdom from above. Wisdom that is, and he gives us a whole list. Here are the marks of that wisdom. It is pure. It is peaceful. It is gentle. It's obedient to God. It's merciful. It results in good actions. It is fair. And it is genuine. It's not hypocritical or showy. In some ways, this is almost a good test for us. If you are doing something and it's making you agitated and envious and fraught, maybe that's not from God. Maybe that's following earthly wisdom. And if we pay more attention to God's wisdom, we'll find ourselves being more peaceful and gentle, obedient, fair, genuine. Again, I won't point these out, but I think we have had demonstrations in the news this week in many ways of the earthly wisdom and a few of the heavenly wisdom on display. But I will mention this example, and you may be getting tired of me mentioning our Presbyterian saint, Fred Rogers. I can't help thinking of him when I was reading through James's list about the wisdom from above. I was also reminded of, just as a side note, Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's phrase about the better angels of our nature. I think that's what James is talking about. But let me just, this is sort of homework. If you've never seen this before, and it also is sort of in counterpoint to some of the news of the week. There is a video on YouTube of Mr. Rogers in May of 1969 testifying before a Senate subcommittee. The Senate Subcommittee on Communications. This is the early days of PBS. And under the Johnson administration, PBS had been getting, I think, like $20 million. And under the Nixon administration, they wanted to cut that to $10 million. And so PBS folks, including Mr. Rogers, come before the Senate Subcommittee on Communications to argue why this funding should not be cut. And there's it's great video of Mr. Rogers testifying, and the senator in charge of this committee is Senator John Pastore, a crusty Italian-American from Delaware. And it's clear at the beginning, he has no clue who Mr. Rogers is. And Mr. Rogers begins and says, I've got this statement I could read for you. It'd take about 10 minutes, but I'd rather not. I'd rather just enter it and talk. And the senator jumps in and says, well, you can read it if you want. And Mr. Rogers says, no, I'd rather just tell you about it. And the senator you can sort of hear him, you know, thinking, oh, when's 5 o'clock getting here? So Mr. Rogers starts and begins explaining what he does on his program and his background. And at one point, the senator jumps in and says, and this is fairly early in you know, the Fred Rogers, the neighborhood. And the senator jumps in and says, well, are you the host of this show? And Mr. Rogers says, well, I'm the host. I also make all the puppets, and I write all the scripts, and I write all the music and the words, this song. And I kid you not, at this point, the senator says, this is the first time in 2 days I've gotten goosebumps. And Mr. Rogers goes on, and he says, could I give you the words to one of the songs I have written? It's a song called, What Do I Do With the Mad Inside? And he says, this comes from a question that a child actually asked me. And so he recites these lyrics to this song he had written about the mad inside. What do you do with the mad inside? Do you punch some clay or bounce a ball? And it ends with a reminder that you can control when you feel this anger. And it ends by saying, and so a girl can become a lady and a boy can become a man. And this senator, I kid you not, Senator John Pastore, crusty senator from Delaware, says, well, that's just wonderful. I think that's wonderful. You just earned your $20 million. It's beautiful. Check it out. But it's what's great is it's not, there's no screaming and yelling. It's Mr. Rogers gently but forcefully saying, here's why this is important for children. And even a United States senator gets it. The wisdom from above that we can choose to follow is pure and peaceful and gentle and obedient to God and merciful and good and fair and genuine. And so my suggestion for your homework this week, in addition to watching the video of Mr. Rogers before the subcommittee, is before you say or do anything this week, go through this checklist from James. It's verse 17. If you need to write it out and carry it with you, do it. Before you say or do anything, ask yourself, is this pure? Peaceful, gentle, obedient, merciful, good, fair, and genuine. Now, admittedly, yes, this may slow you down a bit, which is not altogether a bad thing either. But I think James would say, this checklist is worth your time and attention. And I think God would say it's worth it as well. As we continue to be examples to a world sorely in need of examples of wisdom from above. Amen.